Welcome in to Light the Lamp here on Duck Stream. I'm your host, Alexis Downey. It is so good to be back here in the Paul Correa studio, and I do apologize as it's been a while since we've had a Light the Lamp for you. February was a busy month between the break, going on the road, a lot of things happening, but I thought it would be fitting to start off March by jumping behind the mic, doing a solo show, and talking all about this Anaheim Ducks team, where the organization is at, because I have a lot of thoughts and I'm really proud of where this team is at this point in the season, playing meaningful games down the stretch as we look ahead to maybe slipping into that second wild card spot. Now, some of these losses recently have maybe pushed that a little further than we'd like, but overall, so much excitement around this team right now, and I want to go through it. I want to share some of my thoughts on some of the Ducks players to this point in the year. There's so much to talk about, so that's what we're going with today. March is going to be a busy one. There are 15 games for the team this month, 6 on the road, 9 at home. So if you want to catch a home game at Honda Center, make sure to check out the schedule because there's plenty to choose from. But currently, at this point in the year, the team is 500, 27, 27, and 7, 61 points, 6 points back of Calgary, who's in that second wild card spot right now. And as I'm recording this today, the Ducks faced the Canucks last night, a tough loss. That third goal, I don't even know if I want to go into it, but the goaltender interference challenge from the Anaheim Ducks, not winning that challenge. In a long review by the referees, the officials, the NHL, the people back in Toronto that look over that. But ultimately, you just have to move on from that one. Vancouver, though, getting some points, tying up with Calgary. Calgary's still holding that second wild card spot. Now, that being said, it is still very possible for this Ducks team to find their way into that spot. A couple very hot teams in front of them, however. And it's just at a point where I do believe in this team. I believe in where they're trending, the young players mixed with the veteran guys. There's been a lot of growth this year. Now, maybe not in some of the statistical categories, but overall, you can see it on the ice, and that's what I want to talk about. But first, I want to begin with, it's trade deadline week. This is always a very nerve-wracking week, not only for fans, but for players, organizations. You never know what's going to happen, what GM Pat Verbeek might be cooking up in his office, but today he did cook up something. Brian Dumoulin was traded to the New Jersey Devils in exchange for right winger Herman Trafe and a conditional 2025 second round pick. So my thoughts on this trade in particular, it's tough for a guy like Brian Dumoulin to leave this locker room. He was very beloved here. The team DJ, as we all found out, he had a wide array of songs on his playlist, and it did appease everyone in the room. The guys loved him, so this is going to be felt in the locker room. Not only that, I mean, he played every single game this season for the Ducks, 16 points through his games played, and he had a goal last night in Vancouver. So what a way to go out in his final game with the Anaheim Ducks this season. Just a solid defensive defenseman. And he brought that leadership, brought that winning pedigree, his Stanley Cups back with the Pittsburgh Penguins. You could just see it in the way he carried himself. He will be missed. He was great to chat with, always very insightful. However, in saying all that, the Ducks do get a second round pick for this year's draft, which is always exciting. And then also a prospect in Herman Trafe, who is a part of the SHL in Sweden. He represented Sweden also at the World Junior Championship this year. 7 games played, 2 goals. He's 6'3", 2024 third round pick from the New Jersey Devils. So bringing that size and the physical presence as well. He described himself as a physical big forward, and he likes to hit. Which, by the way, I did put this out on my Twitter account, but traf in Swedish actually means hit. So funny how that works out. All that being said, this trade opens up the spot in the defensive core. So we know that over the last couple months, it's been Olin Zellweger and Pavel Mintikov that have been going back and forth on one being healthy scratch, the other playing. The last 5 games, Olin Zellweger has been the healthy scratch. Thoughts on this? Well, you know, it's tough for a young player's development, but it's also a learning experience for both of them because they get a chance to sit back, watch these games from afar, kind of take them in, you know, see how, I guess, things are without them in the lineup and just pick up on the nuances of the game that maybe you wouldn't necessarily see down on the ice. So for Pavel Mentikov, we've seen that improvement in his game since he has been in. And then on the flip side of that, for Olin Zellweger, he started off the year really strong. I do think not playing the consistent games has hurt his game a little bit. But now that, unfortunately, with Dumo leaving, it's a two-sided thing. Unfortunate to see him go, but fortunate for the young players. They're now going to get the minutes, and the decor is pretty solidified on that end. However, one other thing I want to point out on that, Jacob Trouba and Radko Gudas, two veterans that are still, of course, a part of that, and two guys that can still lead that group there. So Dumoulin was playing alongside Drew Helison, who I'm going to talk about a little bit later on, but I did like the two of them together. And of course, like I said, what a way to go out getting a goal in his final game with the Ducks. So that brings me now to, I want to talk about some of the good things that I've been seeing out of this Ducks team this season. Just what are some of the pros of this group? And first off, the identity of this team has started to take shape. That was the main thing that I feel like I've noticed in the last couple months, the connectedness of their play, in particular in the new year here, the chemistry on and off the ice. You see it there. They're laughing at practice, joking around. This group is close. And to have a locker room that has rallied together like that was very important for the team's success. It seems like a simple concept, but it really is, because you don't get that everywhere. You know, there's things that happen in every locker room, but the fact that this team has that chemistry off the ice just speaks to how they can translate it to on the ice as well. They're playing their best when they're using their speed, and speed was something that at the very beginning of this season, head coach Greg Cronin shared with us that was one of the more noticeable differences in the group this year. They were faster. And we have seen that in some of their games recently when they're playing that simple style, getting up and down the ice, moving the puck, that leads to success. That's what we saw in that Edmonton win. That's what we saw in that Vancouver win last week. So as I said, seems simple, but it's really the recipe for success. And the identity of this team is, I mean, they have a belief in that locker room. They know that even if they're down by a couple goals, they're not out of it. They like to compete hard. We've seen it in their six multi-goal comebacks this season. And it's really infectious as someone that's watching the team, not only from the fan perspective, but I guess as the broadcaster too, when you see that out of the team, it just makes you feel even more, I don't know, maybe just a more belief in the team overall, and you feel it from them, and you know it's trending in the right direction. I think that's what we've been waiting to see. We've been in this rebuild waiting to see those next steps, and we really, really are seeing it now finally. So I'm excited about the future. I know I say excited a lot, but I feel like it sums up what this team could be, and especially when they're playing their best. And we've seen them play their best against some of the best teams in the NHL. I mean, some of the wins that the Ducks had around the holidays in particular, I want to pull back up their schedule. I think it kind of all started around the new year. You take down an Edmonton Oilers team, you take down a New Jersey Devils team, both of those games at home, and then you go on the road and you win in overtime over Winnipeg, one of the best teams in this league. Those wins in itself will do something for your group. And I feel like that was one of the turning points of this group. And not only that, but the acquisition of Jacob Trouba solidifying the decor. Now, in that being said, the team did see Cam Fowler go out, but it's worked out for both sides. Cam Fowler's playing well in St. Louis, and the team has been playing well defensively. The decor has really taken shape. So I feel like that all speaks to the identity of this group. Another pro that I want to talk about is the goaltending this season between Lukáš Dostál and John Gibson. Last night, John Gibson left the game against Vancouver. He was bulldozed into by Drew O'Connor, hoping that Gibby is all right. He did not return with a lower body injury. So all the best to him. We have a fantastic medical staff, and Chad Walker helped him off the ice there, hoping that Gibby is going to be ready to go again soon. But Lukáš Dostál having to step in, that's what we just saw recently when the team was in Boston. Unfortunately, not able to get the win last night. I mentioned that goaltender interference. Don't want to go back to it. But these goalies have been so big for the team this year. And talking about Gibby last night, making the save of the year. I mean, come on. Reaching behind his back, hardly able to see the puck. Not only getting it, batting it out of the air, but he gloved it out of the air. That is so hard to do. And, you know, he recently was celebrated for 500 career NHL games, all played here in Anaheim. There's a reason this fan base loves him so much and the team relies on him so much. He has a .910 save percentage, 2.82 goals against average this season. On the flip side of that, Lukáš Dostál, .911 save percentage with a 2.87 goals against average, just a reliable duo. And they've kept the team in some of the games this season without them. You know, I guess you look at a team like the Edmonton Oilers who have struggled with their goaltending, but have, of course, a very high powered offense. I'm not comparing the two necessarily, but just thinking about how having good goaltending can really make a difference with the team. And that's what we have here in Anaheim. And we're very lucky to have the two of them. Another pro that I want to talk about, Trevor Zegras. I mean, it seems obvious. I mean, the facts speak for themselves. This team is just better with Trevor Zegras in the lineup. He is an energizer on the ice. We saw him stick up for his teammates last night against the Canucks. You love to see that. That is another point to how close this locker room is. You want to see them get upset when something happens. You want to see them sticking up for each other. And I loved that out of Trevor Zegras last night. He is someone who, of course, highly skilled. We knew that, but he facilitates the play. He possesses the puck. I feel like when he's on the ice, the team is possessing the puck better. And overall, something that recently stuck with me following his suspension that he was handed after that Detroit game, head coach Greg Cronin told us that if you were to ask me one player that's probably made the most progress, even though his stats don't reflect it, it's Trevor Zegras. He's more responsible defensively. That was something that last year we talked a lot about, but it's translating to his offensive game too. And I like that he's been playing alongside Leo Carlson and Alex Killorn on that top line since he returned. McTavish having to fill that role while he was out. So Z on the wing, you know, I know he does like to play center, but Z on the wing has also been good. And I feel like him and Leo have been able to feed off each other, kind of find their role on the ice. So this team better with Trevor Zegras in the lineup. And one last pro I want to talk about, more of a recent pro, Sam Colangelo. He's been a nice addition to the team. Robbie Fabbri, of course, out with that injury right now. Team called up Sam Colangelo. He's been on the third line alongside McTavish and Gauthier. And that kid line has been looking so good. They had 7 points in the game against Edmonton, but Colangelo has 3 points in his last two games, 4 points in 16 games overall in the NHL this year. He was the San Diego Gulls all-star for a reason, 19 goals. He's a goal scorer down with San Diego, and he's been able to get goals in the last two games played. So he's just making the most of his opportunity. He's a physical guy as well. I really like that. He forechecks hard, you know, just finishes his checks on the boards, always trying to get to the net. He's someone that I think with this unfortunate absence of Robbie Fabbri, he's been a good addition for this lineup. Now that I got the pros out of the way, there are a few cons, of course, that we have to talk about with the Ducks, because it hasn't always been good and happy every game. I mentioned the injuries, Robbie Fabbri out, Brock McKinn out, and potentially John Gibson. We don't know his status yet today as I'm recording this. This is Thursday, March 6th. Still waiting to hear. Probably we'll get an update tomorrow. Trade deadline day tomorrow on Friday when the Ducks play the St. Louis Blues. We'll find that out at Morningscape from head coach Greg Cronin. So the first thing I want to mention here, special teams. The struggles have been frustrating. The power play is 31st in the NHL, 12.3%. The power play has changed a lot this year. Started the year very set, has changed. The players that have been put on the power play, that's evolved. Trevor Zegras as the quarterback on the power play. We even saw Jacob Trouba on the power play last night. So I feel like they're just trying things and trying to see something that sticks. But the last goals on the power play came in the game against the Buffalo Sabres. Two goals as a part of that 3-2 loss to the Sabres on the road. That was a game that the team really needed. Unfortunately, not able to finish that one out. Just their legs gave out by the end of it. 3 games in 4 days. It's a tough one to end the road trip. But the power play needs to get going. You have to find a little bit more consistency there. And I feel like in watching them, there will be some power play chances where they're moving the puck well, getting looks at the net. But then there's times where they just look slow. The opposing team is all over them, not able to even really get any time in the zone. We saw that a bit last night against Vancouver. So just got to see more shots on that end, better possession, and some more movement. I feel like it's very stagnant at points as well. So power play, would love to see that get going. On the flip side of that, the penalty kill is 28th in the NHL, 73.1% right now. They allowed at least one goal by the opposition in the last 3 straight games, something you cannot have. And just what a difference special teams could make in a game should the Ducks special team start to get going a little bit better, because that area has been frustrating to watch at times. And they aren't getting a ton of power play opportunities. It feels like maybe they're honestly getting less calls, at least as of late. But when they do get those chances, they got to take advantage of them. So something I want to see improved in this next stretch of games. Talking about improvement, though, the young guys. There are a lot of young guys on this team, and wanted to get to just breaking down some of my thoughts on what we've seen out of some of these younger guys. And we're going to start with Jackson Lacombe, because it's been a huge week for him. In particular, his career best game against the Edmonton Oilers. He was a +5 in that game, 3-point night, his first 3-point NHL night. He is just a confident player. We see his confidence. That's what he always talks about when you ask him, what is it? What's going on in your game? He just said it. The better the team's been playing, the more opportunities I'm seeing offensively and the more confident I've been feeling. That's what he told me recently. He's moving the puck so well, has that great shot. And his D partner, Radko Gudas, also spoke really highly of him, pointing to his confidence. And for a young guy, that's what you need to see. Sometimes he doesn't look like a young NHL player. He looks like a seasoned veteran out there. But in his last 34 games, he has 27 points overall, a +8 this season, 33 points in 54 games played this year. And if you remember, at one point this year, earlier back in December, he was a scratch. He was a healthy scratch. And I feel like that completely motivated him. He took off starting in December, and that's what they've needed. They have needed Jackson Lacombe. He's been consistently leading the team on ice time, and overall, so much to come from him. A very underrated guy, but I feel like that game against Edmonton kind of put him on the map in the NHL. All right, next up, Cutter Gauthier. Well, you know, big expectations for him leading into this season. We saw his great shot. A lot of those shots early in the year, but finally was able to break through, get some goals. Now to this point in the year, he has 12 goals, 4 points in his last 2 games, as well, as I mentioned, playing well on that line with Sam Colangelo and Mason McTavish as of late. And I think the one thing, I mean, you talk about his elite shot, but he also has great speed off the rush. And sometimes you'll see him opt to take that shot instead, whereas some players might slow down once they get in the zone, kind of look to open things up, find the pass. But I like that Cutter has the confidence to take that shot sometimes. And you see, he's definitely settled into his game. But one thing on that end, I just feel like there's still a lot more to come from him, because, you know, it took him some time to get to this point this season, but that's a good thing. I think that, you know, his development is going to come over time, and we already see it coming to fruition now. So you can only imagine what he's going to look like in a year from now. Next up, Leo Carlson. Hard not to talk about Leo right now. I mean, 8 points in his last 7 games since the Four Nations face-off. He was, of course, a part of Team Sweden there, where he only got in 1 game, but loved his experience there. Now, he did say Boston was pretty cold, didn't love that part of it. And it was cold. When we were there on the road trip, it was like 10 degrees the one night Steve Emerson and I went to dinner. We were walking back. We did stop and get ice cream, which I'm glad we got it bagged up to walk back to the hotel because it was so cold. I don't think we would have made it with the ice cream, but the ice cream didn't melt. So Boston, it was a fun time to be there. Fun to be there for the Four Nations face-off. A lot of the Ducks players also were able to take in that championship game between the U.S. and Canada. And for Leo Carlson, just really enjoyed the experience. Got to spend some time learning from different players around the NHL. And as I mentioned, he's been on the top line pretty much the whole season with Alex Killorn. Trevor Zegras a part of that now. And one of the things I asked Trevor Zegras about recently, playing alongside Leo, he just said that Leo can do it all. He's a great skater through the neutral zone, something that we are very accustomed to seeing every game from Leo. He's got great hands, that shot. Overall, just such a smart player. And he does a great job at creating space on the ice. And you see that on his play through the neutral zone in particular. It's funny to think about the fact that he's only still 20 years old. I mean, these guys are still kids. So, of course, excited about Leo Carlson, what he's been able to do since the Four Nations face-off. And again, someone else, more to come. Mason McTavish, he's certainly emerged in this later half of the season. In his last 25 games played, he has 18 points. And one of the things that stuck out to me on him, thinking back to last year, he was not a very disciplined player last year, taking some penalties at crucial moments in the game. His penalty minutes are way down this year. His discipline is a lot better. I think overall for the team, the discipline has been better. That's been a big factor in their play this year. But Mason is also averaging a career high in ice time, 16:35 total on ice. So he's getting more time, taking less penalties, and you see he's just an important piece for this Ducks future, the way he bulldogs his way to the net. You see him on the power play. I mean, he's all over the ice. His two goals against Edmonton, I really liked that second goal in particular. It was a play down low, puck battle won. He gets out in front, roofs the puck. Just a smart play by him, a quick play by him as well. So again, just a big part of this Ducks future. We knew that, of course, but you're seeing it as well with him. All right, a couple more guys for you. Drew Helleson. He's someone that, hey, beginning of the year, if you had asked me, Drew Helleson, what's his future look like? I can't say I would have thought it was going to be here in Anaheim for the amount that he's played here this season. Not only that, but I asked head coach Greg Cronin about him the other day, and he said that he has been someone who has really surprised the staff. He's a defensive defenseman, and he's very responsible in the D zone. He has had some games recently, the couple little mistakes here and there. You think back that to that Detroit game, there's a slow defensive play on that one goal that the Red Wings had. But overall, he's someone that Cronin shared takes coaching very well and has been a pleasant surprise for the Ducks D-Core. Last two on the list, Pavel Mintikov and Olin Zellweger. The two that I mentioned have been trading time on the ice, but Mintikov has been playing as of late. He has 12 points in 49 games played for the Ducks this season. Not as much ice time in his last two games, but you do see his improvements overall. And then, of course, as I mentioned, Olin Zellweger earlier. Now we're going to see the two of them getting those consistent minutes. And I'll be curious to see if that kind of changes up who's partnered with who, because it's usually been one of them partnered with Jacob Trouba. So how that's going to shift things, who's going to be playing alongside Drew Helleson. But they've got it figured out now. They're six defensemen, and that's the plan going forward, it seems like, to this point. All right, well, that's the young kids. And like I said, more to come from them as we move into the end of this season, which, by the way, when you look at March, I mentioned what the schedule looks like. But hey, you're playing some tough teams to close out this month. You have Carolina again, Boston again, Toronto, and then you have some games in April as well. So not going to be an easy month to close out for the Anaheim Ducks. But if they have that belief, I believe in them too. As I mentioned, it's trade deadline week. Want to talk a little bit bigger picture, the NHL right now. Some of the bigger trades so far to this point, as I'm recording this on this Thursday afternoon, Tampa Bay acquiring Yanni Gourde and Oliver Bjorkstrand from Seattle. You have to imagine that Yanni Gourde is happy to be going back to the place he became a Stanley Cup champion. The Florida Panthers acquired goaltender Vitek Vanacek from the San Jose Sharks, and they needed a goaltender once they traded away Spencer Knight to the Chicago Blackhawks. Seth Jones joining the Florida Panthers seemed very happy in that move. We knew that he didn't necessarily want to be in Chicago anymore. He was not quiet about that. So good, fresh start for him with a very good team. And then some other names that we're kind of still waiting to hear. Mikko Rantanen. I mean, that's the big talk. So many different things flying around on him. Will that be an off-season decision? Wouldn't be surprised in the end. Carolina has made it known that they want him to stay, but who knows? That's a big player that maybe will be available in the off-season. We'll have to see. The New York Islanders, Brock Nelson's future. What's that going to look like? I wanted to give a shout out to Shannon Hogan because she had an incredible emotional interview with him the other night following their win over the Jets. Really good stuff there. If you haven't seen it, it's all over X, also known as Twitter. I always say Twitter, but I know it is X. Same difference. I feel like most people know what I'm talking about. Another guy on this trade deadline chatter list, Brock Besser, someone that we saw last night, who, by the way, that was the one that Gibby made that incredible save on. So go Gibby. But Brock Besser potentially on that list. And just waiting to see what else happens with the trade deadline. Like I mentioned, always a nerve-wracking week. You never know what's going to happen, but the Ducks are already a part of it as well. And hey, playing the day of the trade deadline, I don't know. Having games right after the deadline, it definitely makes it hard for players that do get traded the day of the deadline. I can't say I'm necessarily a fan of it. It's kind of how I feel about teams also playing the same day as a Winter Classic. Don't you want all the eyes on the Winter Classic? I don't know. I digress. That's just how it is. Lastly, let's finish with talking about our friends down in San Diego. The Gulls, they finished up February on a 7-game win streak. Really good on them. And that was something that I talked with Sam Colangelo about once he was back up here with the team. And he just shared that the second time he went back down to the Gulls, something shifted. And that team was just way more confident, playing better hockey for the last month. And it was a lot more fun overall. Of course, when you're winning games, it's more fun, as Emerson likes to say. But the Gulls, nice win streak to end February. Sasha Pastajov has just been incredible, 42 points in 38 games played. Tristan Luneau, not too far behind, 40 points in 41 games. So the development with the team down there, been going well. And hoping that they also can finish off the year strong, as they've had some injuries. Callie Klang on that list. That's why the Ducks were able to get Villahuso. He had a shutout in his first game with the San Diego Gulls. So an exciting way to start with the team down there, and good to have that kind of goaltending. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for me on this episode of Light the Lamp. Feel like I went through a lot of the different things happening right now with the Anaheim Ducks, some of the young players, trade deadline week, where this team is at, and this push for the playoffs that they have coming up. As I mentioned, some tough competition coming into Honda Center this month, but hey, they've played well against tough competition, so we'll see how it all shakes out. That'll do it for this episode of Light the Lamp. As always, I'm Alexis Downey. Thanks for joining us here in the Paul Kariya studio for this episode this week. Make sure to come back again next time for more hockey talk on Duckstream.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on Duckstream.